All right. We now continue with our fellowship from the last two meetings. Let me just say this. These 72 words, or however that number will grow, it's actually growing already, they're not meant to be some 12-step program. You know, there's these kind of follow these steps and you'll kick your habit or something. No. Do not take these words in a rigid, religious, dead kind of a way. They are just there as a help, as kind of a signpost, if you will, or lights, or lamp to your feet, light to your path, to give us some guidance, some practical guidance as we journey in this wonderful pursuit of Christ entering into the holiest place, right, as our destination, or into the holiest place as our destination. You know, that whole tabernacle is a type of such a journey from all the way from the outer court through the holy place, ending in this, the presence of Jehovah at the throne of grace. That actually depicts a Christian's journey, ever deepening, until he finds himself in the presence of the Lord. We have been actually in our recent reading in Exodus, right, concerning the propitiatory cover. My wife was just reminding me of that, that those messages of this propitiatory cover, and, you know, that's actually over time, you know, through a process, we arrive there. That description or that exposition by Brother Lee in the Life Studies is it's just absolutely exquisite. It is just, you have to read that. You just have to read that. The sprinkling of the blood, am I right? The watching of the cherubims, right? And then on this propitiatory cover is where, which is Christ, is where we actually meet God. Well, words fail me, and that we don't have the time. That's not our subject tonight. But you see, I say just add this little word, brothers and sisters, you've got to read the life studies. You have just got to read these life studies. You don't know what you are missing as a Christian without that kind of understanding, you know, that kind of a light before you to lead you to the right place. Now, even though these are not rigid, you know, formula, or these points are not to be taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, check, 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 some kind of checklist, even though it is not that, it is still somewhat formulated in a particular way. For example, last night, the first 12 words was not even the beginning of that journey. It was a description of the nature of this, of this experience, you know, of our relationship with the Lord. That's all. That was last night, the first 12 words. This morning, the second 12 words, I would say, if you look at your little outline, I put a little parenthesis with the word approaching. Do you see that? That word approaching, meaning we're still not there yet. Do you realize, excuse me, before you meet someone or you engage in a meaningful relationship or time with a certain person, there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of preparation. Especially if this person is a special person, you know, a person of high estate, let's say, or a person that is enormously special to you, you would not just hastily drop in, you know, show up and just say hi like that. That time is too important to be treated in that kind of a carefree way, that kind of a light way. Now, our relationship with the Lord truly is a romantic one, a love relationship. But still, this relationship is with someone all too special. It's God. It's Christ. It's the triune God Himself. So, that's more than going to see a president, you know, or some CEO, whatever. We are coming into the presence of God to spend time with Him. My goodness, think of, even I'm thinking about it, I say this is just absolutely awesome that we get to do that. We human beings can spend minutes on end and hours on end with the God of this universe. Amen. Now wouldn't you put your BlackBerry away for that? You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you just turn it off, your iPhone, whatever, for that? If you realize who you're going to meet. And we can meet with this one more than on a daily basis. In fact, this one is open, or in a way, desirous for our contact of Him as often as possible. Yeah. My. Still, in order that time that we spend with this one be fruitful, be full of spiritual profit, be meaningful, we have to prepare ourselves. This is why this morning's 12 words is on approaching. These words like desire, you're not even there yet. But your desire will determine how that time will be. Choosing. Have you made that choice yet? Believing. Coming. Now that's really approaching. Coming. I come to thee, dear Lord. I just love this hymn. Yeah. By the way, whenever I sing this hymn, I remember two persons. Number one, Brother Lee, the one who wrote this. He was the composer of this hymn, and he also loved this hymn very, very much himself. He called this hymn a lot. And if you go read the life studies, he often mentioned this hymn. The other person is Howard Higashi, a brother that you met might have know his name. Some of us, of course, know him. But some of you younger people probably do not know him. But you might have heard of his name. This is probably his favorite hymn. And I'm standing here, still hearing in my ears, and this image in front of me of Howard plucking his guitar and singing a solo on this song, or leading a singing on this particular song. This song is his favorite because this song has become his. All these words, you have to just... I like to recommend this song to you to sing a lot. Amen. I mean like day and night. Like day and night. And let this song be in your lips and in your mouth. Until this song becomes your song. This song has certainly become our brother's song. when he sing this song, it's not just, singing the song. You touch a person, Brother Howard, a person who is just, who's all these things is a description of him. I can say that. I don't live with him. You know, I'm not his wife. But I know this for sure. Our brother has a such depth of roots. You know, today you sing many songs he wrote. You know, these love songs. There's even a LSM CD that are mainly his, you know, his songs. Get that song. Get that CD and sing those songs. You'll find, you know, it is hard to write songs. It is hard to write poetry. It is hard to write hymns. More difficult than giving a message or, you know, writing some truth. Because that hymns and poetry, the good ones, come only from a person's experience. It is actually an overflow of one's experience, expressed in very deep and often personal sentiment. If you know the truth, you cannot write such a poetry or hymn. You can write some doctrinal things, but that's what it is. I'm talking about hymns that when you sing, would just strike that chord within you, would stir up that thirst within you. So the person who wrote it, Brother Lee, was that. That was his testimony in hymn form. And the same with our Brother Howard. So I hope the church these days would even enter into a kind of hymn singing like never before. Hymn singing is a big part of our spiritual exercise, spiritual enjoyment of the Lord. I feel that our hymn singing is not up to par. Either we sing something, always something, I would say, hymnal light, L-I-T-E. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good melodies, but light, L-I-T-E. The songs themselves are often light, and the singers themselves are also light. So the situation is a light one. I'm not saying it's a bad one. That's not what I'm saying. I don't mean that. You sing M.E. Barber's hymns, all right? Often short, four verses, with not that much, quote-unquote, truth, so to speak. But you just sing one line, just one line. There's that one she wrote. Just to breathe the name of Jesus is to drink of life indeed. Simple words. Yeah. Isn't that simple words? But can you write it? Surely she was a breathing one. And through that experience, she found out that to breathe that name, actually is to call that name in prayer, is to drink of life. My goodness. My goodness. You just cannot imagine that. You have to have the experience. And of course, you need certain skills. But anyway, then there's an overflow of something in songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our Christian life, I would say our Christian existence, is somewhat short of melodies and hymns and songs. And so, as a result, somewhat our kind of pursuit of the Lord is a bit on the dry side. On the technical side. Not enough sentiment. You know where the word sentimental comes from. Not enough sentiment. Not enough feeling. Or you can say, not enough experience. And brothers and sisters, this weekend aims to stir up a deep appetite in the saints to pursue that experience on a regular basis, not once a year, some mountaintop thing. No, but on a regular basis. All right? Tonight, we're going to cover, I will cover, even though quickly, unless I get sidetracked again, 24 words, which is group 3 and 4. Now, let me tell you, we are now coming into the thick of it. We are now coming into the thick of this time. Now, this is what we do in this time. Now, I'm not getting there yet, so, I'm not getting there yet. I still have a preamble here. As we were praying upstairs with the brothers, in the prayer, it just occurred to me, this verse, in a famous verse that we probably all know, in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll just read it. You don't need to turn. It says, verse 17 and 18, chapter 3, very famous, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. You know, this is all experience. Christ making home in our hearts. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Now here's the point. Verse 18. May be full of strength to apprehend. Now this word apprehend is just like the police apprehending a bandit, right? It has the meaning of grasping, of just absolutely laying hold of someone in an intense way. That's what this word means. Okay? It's not touching. It's not shaking hands. It's a kind of laying hold of someone in a very, very strong way. That's the meaning of apprehend. Apprehend with all the saints. Surely it takes all the saints. Now, what the breadth and length and height and depth are. Now, I'd like to say a word here tonight before we get into these words. And that is to use these four words to explain something. How actually to enrich our fellowship time, our time of fellowship with the Lord. Here there are four dimensions here. You know, the type on the Old Testament of this Christ, this all-inclusive Christ, is that good land, right? We all know this, the good land that God gave to the children of Israel. It was given to them. It was promised to Abraham, and it was given to his descendants, clearly. So it's their inheritance, promised. It's theirs. However, when they, left Egypt, go through the wilderness under the leadership of Moses to enter into that land flowing with milk and honey. At the passing of Moses, Joshua and I took the lead. And if you read Joshua 1, you will find the Lord's speaking there. To be of good courage, right? Be strong. Take this land that I have given to you. It is yours. Of course, they have to fight. But anyway, it says, wherever your foot, right, will the soles of your feet will tread upon, that will be yours. Now, you would say, well, it's been given to me. It's already promised. Why do I need to do anything? God has given Christ to me. Am I right? Both theirs and ours, right? According to 1 Corinthians. We've all been called into the fellowship of His Son. Christ is our portion. But yet, here in the picture, or in the type, they need to, you know, put the actual soles of their feet to every square inch of that land, and only where the soles of feet, their feet land upon, it will be theirs. What is the point here? Here's the point. This is very important. Yes, Christ is God's ordained portion and inheritance for those who believe. That's everyone in this room. Everyone in this room. But that is only a fact, a spiritual fact. It's a great promise. God's promises are all facts. But that fact need to turn into your subjective experience. And there's a process. The process is you have to now step in. You have to put your feet on every square inch of this Christ in order for that to be experientially yours. It's already factually yours, objectively yours, but for it to be subjectively yours, you've got to go and walk. You have to go and take the land. Walk. So Paul in Colossians 1 says, we have been rooted in Him. Am I right? Yeah. Let us what? Let us walk in Him. Yeah. You know what that is? That means this is the Christian life. The Christian life is daily, hourly, putting the soles of our feet, as it were, on this land of Christ. And by doing that, you are experiencing this Christ subjectively, i.e., you are now apprehending Him. You are now grasping Him. You are now gaining Christ personally. And no one can walk for you. When I bought the house in Irvine, those were boom days, you know. And you have to go and sleep for a few nights to wait to get your house. Do you remember those days? That seems like history, right? I'm not going to sleep. So I got a few brothers to sleep for me. So a few brothers. So the other day, I met a brother. He said, remember I slept for you? Oh, I said, oh, thank you very much. Now, someone can sleep in line for me to get this old house in Irvine. But let me tell you, no one can walk in Christ on your behalf and say, here's Christ. I walk for you. No such thing. You have to go walk yourself. All these daily times with the Lord, all these moments with Christ, all this, what we're talking about this weekend, is your walking. That's your walking. You're walking. An hour here, 30 minutes there, 15 minutes here. You're walking. And by this kind of spending this kind of time cumulatively, you will gain this Christ. The measure of Christ in your life will grow. And that's when we observe some saints growing. My, this brother, what has become of him? Nothing, actually nothing magic. He's been walking. He's been putting his feet on a lot more real estate in Christ, a lot more land in Christ, so that he gained that Christ. No wonder when he comes to the meetings, when you meet him, he has a lot more depth of riches coming out of him. No magic. But that walking requires an exercise, requires a price. Now, I'm getting to my point here, that here this Christ, this all-inclusive Christ, has four dimensions. Four dimensions. Breadth, length, height, and depth. That means we have to go after these all four dimensions to get this, what Brother Lee called, cubical Christ. Cubic Christ. This three or even four-dimensional. Actually, it's really three-dimensional Christ. Breath. Let's start with breath. This Christ is broad, is just absolutely broad, rich in its breadth, not narrow. You know, I meet some saints after many years in the Lord and in the church life. Their experience of Christ is like this, about 2 inches wide. That's all they know. Every time they stand up and give a prophecy, you just know it. It's those 2 inches. It's the same 2 inches. You just know they are lacking in the expansion of the breadth of the experience of this Christ. Their Christ is one-dimensional, narrow, and small. Why? They have not spent time to walk the breadth of it. Oh my, this Christ is what? Pomegranates and what? Wheat and barley and water brooks and stones and copper. You have to read that book called The All-Inclusive Christ. But all it seems this person knows is Christ is just a couple of blades of grass in this good land. That's all he knows. When it's actually vast to the uttermost, you wouldn't know it by talking to him. This Christ is so poor. His Christ is so narrow. So when they share something, out comes 2 blades of grass. Well, it's better than nothing. I admit that. At least not some sand, right? But 2 blades of grass compared to the breadth of this land is hardly anything. No labor. There is no labor. You just know that. The second thing is length. Length. Length is, right, this distance. But tonight I would use this length to talk to you in this way. That means a long and perpetual experience. A experience of Christ that is inexhaustible, that does not run out. The longevity, there's a longevity to the experience. There is a something that will that has a long shelf life, you know. Now, I've also run into the same, some saints. My, they have something, but what they have doesn't last. Or, what they have is just something brief. It's good, it's rich, but it's only about 1 minute. That's 1 minute. There's no stretching out. There is no length to their experience. I would know by this that probably in their personal relationship with the Lord, there is what? It's characterized by brevity.
brevity. You know, some of us could even stay put with the Lord for 15 minutes. And we need to get out and go do something. That's all that we can handle, 15 minutes with the Lord. And that seems like eternity. You can check in the clock, your watch, every 5 minutes. Is time up yet? I talked to the trainees in the training. Is your morning revival filled with clock checking? If it is, you're not in eternity. You're still in time, which means you're not in God yet. When you're in God, you lose all sense of time. You just lost the sense of time. Oops. Oh, what? It's an hour later. I'm talking from experience. But some dear saints, after 20 years in the Lord, they can only spend 10 minutes with the Lord. And whoa, that's a long time. Whoa. 10 minutes really exhausts me. Why? There has not been the stretching. I like to see, brothers and sisters, all of us, build up that duration of time with the Lord. Shorten all your other obligations. Make them brief. You don't need to spend that much time to do that. You know what I mean? Just get the things done. But with the Lord, stretch it out. Stretch it out. To have any relationship with anybody, there is no substitute for time. I just cannot have an intimate, affectionate, passionate, whatever, romantic, just touch and go. No. I mean, when you're in love, you blink your eye, it's sunset, you know? You started out at sunrise, you blink your eye, it's sunset. Because time ceases to exist when you're in love. You understand what I'm saying? Do we have that experience with the Lord? I really mean it. I do. The time stood still. I'm just with Him. And that time, that length doesn't dry me out. That length doesn't exhaust me. I want more. And I have the capacity for more. And it is in that longer period of time that you begin to apprehend more dimensions of Christ that you're unable to do with about 10 minutes or 5. Some people only, almost like they only spend time with the Lord when they have a break. You know, the Lord is relegated to a break. You know, contact. I think it should be the other way. Now, I'm not saying you should all drop your jobs and just, you know what I mean. You understand, I'm not talking about this. We all have our duties, our human obligations, but I'm talking about certain mentality, a certain lifestyle, a certain way of living that we are somewhat short in. No wonder. Our measure of Christ is not growing that much. Height. You have to climb those mountains. You need to ascend those mountains. Sometimes when I'm with the Lord, I find the Lord at certain heights. You know, if you read songs, there are these heights. There are these heights. There's these mountains where He is skipping in resurrection, in ascension. I tell you, when you experience sometimes this Lord to such an extent, you want to go from K1 to K2. You understand? You want to go higher with the Lord. You don't want to stop here. You have been touching the Lord, praying to the Lord, experiencing Him in a particular matter in the Word, but yet He is still bidding you to come higher. Son, come higher with me. Come. I don't want you to stop there. Don't stop there. Keep coming. Come on. Go. Come. Oh, I start to climb more. I climb more. You say, oh, you're using your human effort. I don't know human effort or what. I just know that where my soles of my feet will lay, I'm going to gain that Christ. Amen. And I am not satisfied with a valley Christ. I want that mountain Christ. Amen. I want Christ as the peak. This kind of stretching is how we gain the Lord. And then finally, depth. My, the depth. We'll talk about the root. The root. Sink deep into God. You know, this entrance in eventually into the holiest of all is a kind of a depth experience. Eventually, not only you end up in the holiest of all, you have to dive in, as we were, into the Ark of the Testimony and all the way into the golden pot to get that hidden manna. Now, that's deep. That's deep. Young people, young brothers sitting up the front, you are young. You're not that deep. It's a fact. When I was your age, I was just like you. But aim at that depth. Aim at that depth. It comes with time. After years, after decades, you will find Christ in such a deep place. You will find that fountain, that source where the living water flows. You will be one who will be unshaken, untouched, unmoved by all external circumstances because you have found the fountain. You know where the source is. Nothing can move you. I'll tell you, that doesn't come by magic. That comes from years of exercise in these kind of times with the Lord. Of going deeper. You know, we have that song, what? Higher, higher, what? In the life of Jesus, deeper, deeper in the cross, is that right? Or death of Jesus? Something like that. The depth has to do with His death. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. That was Paul in Philippians talking about gaining. He even said forgetting everything behind, stretching forward to gain this all-inclusive prize. Francis says, all I can do is just say this much. But I cannot do this for you. You have to take this land yourself. And I'm pointing you in a direction this weekend. The place to start is in your personal time with the Lord. Amen. Build up those times. Fight for it. Throw away your gadget. Throw away your device. They are robbing you. They are cheating you from the God-given portion, experientially. Turn off that TV. Shut out all those distractions. Not only you will have more time for the Lord, actually, by doing that, there's a good side benefit, and that is you'll be more sanctified. You'll be more holy. You'll be less defiled and corrupted by all these things coming through, you know, this stuff. We are a holy people, brothers and sisters. We're God's chosen people. We don't live like the world does. All right, now, that's good as a start. We now come
to group 3 and 4. All right? I better be crisp with my speaking. Now we come to the Lord with a calm, stopped, empty, so to speak. We have asked, we have sought, we have knocked, and now we are there with the Lord. Here, the first word is rest. You would say, be quite surprised by that. Rest. I tell you, the first thing when we come to the Lord is not to do something, or act out something, or let's get on with it, Lord. No. You're off. The first thing is to find rest in Him. Is to rest in your soul, to find rest in Him. It says, you know, in the famous psalm, He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the water of what? Rest. The Lord is my shepherd. The first thing He does is not you do this and this and that. The first thing He led you to lie down. Now that seems to me like rest on this green pasture, which is He Himself. And put us, or laid us beside, or led us, or leads us beside some calm waters, waters of rest. Dear saints, do you know this? Do you know the Lord who is pasture and restful waters to you when you're with Him? Find that. Find that. Rest in Him. The beginning of our enjoyment of the Lord is our rest in Him. You know, Jacob fled Esau. That began his long spiritual journey of transformation. The first thing he knew of Christ was that stone that he took as a pillow. That stone is the beginning of everything for Jacob. That stone is Christ as man's rest. It is upon this stone that the dream and the vision came to Jacob. Jacob didn't work. Jacob just laid his head on this Christ, in type, of course, and the heavens opened. Learn to rest in Him. My, we just like to run around. This. Rest in the Lord. Okay. The next one is appreciate. You know, that's just the word here. I'm not sure this is the right word. You can even find a verse about this. as long as it's here. You have to start with a kind of what? Adoration, appreciation. I would maybe use the word cherishing of the Lord. Not love yet, love is next. A kind of inclination towards the Lord. A kind of feeling of care, of cherishing, of treasuring of this one that you're meeting. Now, these are very fine things, and I am concerned, brothers and sisters, many of our times with the Lord is either light or rough. Rough. That means not fine. And when you're rough, you miss a lot of experiences.
This is a fine experience. How much do you spend time in just doing nothing and just appreciating the Lord just for who He is to you? You're not jumping up and down. You are just appreciating Him. Even you are even somewhat reviewing all that He is to us. Lord, thank you. You are this and that to me. You are so much. I appreciate you, Lord. I really appreciate you. All this will stir up a kind of appetite, a kind of spiritual appetite for this one that you're going to commune with. This is very important. You know, we just get in there and oh, come on, let's go. What's the program? You know, pray, read. You know, open to page this in Holy Word. Been there, done that. Do it. Boom. Go. Goodbye. That's our time with the Lord. Where is the appreciation? Without even a short time of appreciation with the Lord, the quality of your time suffers. You may be mechanically contacting Him. Sometimes we can even say, Lord Jesus, I love you without much appreciation. Lord Jesus, I love you. No appreciation. A lot of times, I did not say, Lord Jesus, I love you, but full of appreciation for Him. Even I don't say, Lord, I love you. I say, Lord, I appreciate you. Who you are and what you have done for me. You see? Do you see how your time can be filled up very quickly? That you don't even have enough time with the Lord? If you're like this, next, love. I don't really need to say much about this. This we all know. Of course, when we're with the Lord, the first thing upon our appreciation of Him is we just love Him. But I tell you, there are degrees of this love. We need to love the Lord as He commanded with our whole heart. You know, our problem, let me tell you, a big problem when we contact the Lord, a frustration, is not just our spirit. We tend to say, oh, the spirit. I tell you, mostly the problem is with the heart. It's a heart problem. It's a heart difficulty. When we fail to contact the Lord adequately or enjoy Him adequately. What's the problem with the heart? Number one, just a lack of it. That means your heart is not there. You don't have that much heart. You say you love, but the heart is not there to love. Or, a divided heart. A heart that is partially here with the Lord, but partially somewhere else on something. That divided heart will cause you to be impure and you will miss God. So, what is needed is a dedicated whole heart, even your whole soul, am I right? Your whole mind. Your whole being must be there to love Him. God desires and deserves that kind of love from us, no less. No less. I'm giving you secrets. This weekend, actually, we were going to use the word the secret. These truly are secrets. These root hairs truly are the secrets. I beg you, brothers and sisters, to practice it. Try it. Try it. The brothers feel that perhaps after this week, the whole church in Irvine besides our regular morning revival, which we will do, we will continue, the whole church will take one word per week and practice it for 72 weeks. How about that? I think a year and a half later, the whole church would be like this. So next week, we will just practice a whole week with the help of some word, you know what I mean, all these things. We will just practice. Not, this is mainly not for knowledge, and it's mainly for practice. The next week, every one of us personally, individually, will practice, what is the first word? Personal. We'll just spend 1 week to practice the personal. And then the next week, we will practice what? Spiritual. My, I tell you, we'll take 1 week to get through. And even when we have our morning revival, we'll practice to be personal. Amen. We'll build this up. Amen. And I believe we will build this up. Amen. In young people, in old people, in brothers and sisters. We'll take our time. I believe some of you would need 2 weeks on personal to get through. Because you have hardly anything. I almost can guarantee you, your life will change. Your spiritual life will be revolutionized over time. I almost can guarantee you that. All right, let's go on. Love. Okay, next, touch. Touch. Now you are making contact to touch the Lord. I'm afraid even this word has been somewhat made light. Touch the Lord, touch the Lord, you know. Almost in a frivolous manner. A flippant manner. I tell you, there's this woman who said, if I can just touch his garment, just his garment, I'll be healed. And he did that. The Lord turned around and said, who touched me? Who touched me? When we really touch the Lord with our heart and with our spirit, I tell you, something from the Lord automatically flows. His virtues automatically flow. You don't need to ask for it. Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. You just touch him. Touch him. It flows. Whatever you need, the flowing begins. The next word, cling. You know, in the world, we say, oh, so-and-so is too clingy. Well, spiritually, we all should be described as the clingy types. Another word for cling is to cleave, a more old word, cleave. And then in the Bible, actually, you have to these kind of words. But anyway, in Joshua, it says, but you shall cling to Jehovah your God as you have done to this day. My, the Lord is so happy someone is clinging on him. Just hold. I held him and I will not let go. Right? It's all songs. Now that's clinging. So even when the Lord walks, he still have to drag you around. You are just clinging on him and not letting him go. Spiritually speaking. Cling. Some of us just touch and go. Touch. Thank you, Lord. Bye. You don't even know how to cling. You should not just touch. You just cling. You just cleave. You just attach yourself to this dear one. Some other words is hold him. I held him. Or embrace him. The psalmist say, I cling to your testimonies. In Deuteronomy, it says what? Serve him. Listen to his voice.
follow Him, fear Him, and hold fast to Him. My, hold fast to Him. As I said, Psalm 3, I held Him and would not let go. Would not let go. Brothers, do you do that in your personal time with the Lord? You just won't let go. Even the Lord says it's time to go. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the man? It was like until, you know, day dawn. And it was a stalemate, right? This man was ready to go. Just, you know, we've gone 12 rounds already and more. You know, it's time to call it quits. I tell you, Jacob, you know how old Jacob is at that time? By that time, to my figuration and study, Jacob is about 84 years old. With 11 kids and 4 wives. My 84-year-old would not let go. It forced the Lord to touch his inner thigh. And he became limp for the rest of his life as a sign of his natural life being touched. May I say something, brothers and sisters? When you're so quick, so instant, like fast food with the Lord, you probably won't experience your natural life being touched. Only those who cling would not let go until the blessing comes. I tell you, the Lord will deal with this person, will touch this person. Now, the Lord is doing the touching. And I'm going to have another 70 words or more on what the Lord does later on. Delight. Delight. My. Dear saints, do you know how to delight in the Lord? That means to make yourself happy in the Lord. Delight in Jehovah, in Isaiah says. Psalms. Delight yourself in Jehovah. Oh, I delight, Song says, to sit under the apple tree. Dear saints, when you're with the Lord, delight yourself. I don't know how to even say this. This is real enjoyment. Satisfy yourself. Relish in His presence. Or relish His presence. Even revel in the happiness of the moment. You know, there are too many wonderful hymns here that we never sung, from not written by us, but by others. A lot of them, as I said, don't have that much truth to it, really. Not that much truth. Or, you know, that kind of insight. But I tell you, there's a depth of experience. And there's a lot of these songs that use the word delight, happiness. Oh, you know, Mary exclaimed, you know what? My spirit, what? Exalt. And my soul, what? Magnifies the Lord, right? I tell you, that is a person delighting in the Lord. My, his spirit, his soul is just in a very, very happy state. They're also in these songs by Christians, they talk about the rapturous moment when they're with the Lord. I don't know whether you have that or not. Or you just a punch-in, punch-out time with the Lord. You know, the word rapture, you know, one day will be rapture. The word rapture actually means ecstasy. That means like, what is that?
ecstasy. It's like unbelievable joy. Indescribable joy. Peter says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. My, you are left just speechless in the Lord's presence. You're so happy. And that happy is not just because you got a raise just now. In fact, just now you got a demotion. But now you're with the Lord. My, you are happy. You are just, whoa. You are just enraptured in Him. In this one that you're with. Next one, gaze. There's a lot of things missing in gaze because this gaze is most central now in our time with the Lord. That is to behold His face. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, is filled with His face. The same in the New Testament. Whenever the face of God is mentioned, it means His presence. Face means presence. So, you have this famous Psalm 27, one thing that I've asked from Jehovah, that do I seek, to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in His temple. My, is this your desire, brothers and sisters? When you're with the Lord, when you're with the Lord, it's just to just stare at Him. It's just beholding Him. Just looking intently on Him. You know, the word comes, the obvious verse that comes to one's mind is 1 John 1:1. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, that's not yet beholding, which we beheld. And that word beheld means gaze with a purpose. Gaze with a purpose, a purposeful gaze, which our hands have handled the word of life. Well, that refers to the Lord. I think it must be when John was at the bosom, you know, of the Lord, like this, reclining on the bosom. I don't think he was reclining on the bosom of the Lord and staring at Peter. See what I'm doing, you know? I don't think so. I believe when he was at the bosom, he was just like transfixed on the Lord. I believe, logically. So he wrote this, the same John wrote this epistle, which, referring to that which was from the beginning, the word of life, we beheld, we gazed on with a purpose. Now, in the Old Testament, it's full of verses, you know, from Numbers, Jehovah makes His face to shine upon you. Am I right? To lift up His countenance towards upon you. And the psalmist would say, I will seek Jehovah, seek His face continually. I will behold Your face. He says, when you say, seek My face, Jehovah said, to you my heart would say, Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Do not hide Your face from me. This is the psalmist's. They just want to behold. And of course, the most famous verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord. When I go to the Lord, I have this sensation. I am just a mirror. The mirror does not have anything. It only reflects. So this mirror better be placed facing the right object to reflect it. I am just a mirror in front of the Lord, just staring at Him, just beholding Him. One of the last description of what we will do, and that's in the New Jerusalem. So sweet. And they shall see His face in eternity. My goodness. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to wait until the New Jerusalem. Today, now, we can behold His face all the time. Take time, what you saying, to behold Him. Don't run in and out. Don't move that mirror. Leave it there. Then just behold. I have a lot of experience with the Lord in times like this. There's no words. It's total silence. There may be some groaning, some breathing on my part, but otherwise, it's just eye to eye and face to face. Moses, 40 days, 40 nights, face to face with Him. I came out, I cannot tell you what happened. I cannot tell you the Lord gave me this, and the Lord spoke to me about that. I just knew I was with Him. And that's good enough. That's good enough. That is actually by the eyes, by the face look. That's how God begins His work of transfusion. That's when the transfusion of the divine element takes place to make us shine. The next word, draw. Draw. Oh, no. The next word is bathe. Bathe. That means to what? That means to bask in this his presence. That means to submerge yourself in His presence. That means to what? Be there just absorbing those rays. Absorbing, like you're in the suntan, whatever. You are just absorbing those rays into your being, those divine rays. Bathe. Bathe, bask. Sunbathing. S-O-N, right? We need some real sunbathing. To bathe in the presence of the sun, the longer the better. The tanner, spiritually tanner, you will become. Really true. Really true. Some of us are spiritually pasty, huh? Yeah. Not enough time under the sun. Okay. You're short of vitamin D, huh? D for divine. Amen. Divinity, I should say. Okay. Next one, draw. Draw. I tell you, this is something, again, we do, you do. Don't just, you cannot, I tell you, you cannot be passive about this. Again, I'm going to just finish with 12 words. So don't worry, I'll be done. Draw. You know, a person who is experienced in being with the Lord knows that it is active-passive. You are both very active, yet at the time, seemingly very passive. Passive means the Lord is doing everything. You are not doing anything. The Lord is doing everything on you, upon you, with you, through you. But active means you have to be very, what, exercised in your spirit. Draw is an active verb. So the word it says what? You will draw water with rejoicing. Am I right? In Isaiah, from the springs of salvation. You say the water is already here, but you have to draw it. So when you're in the Lord's presence, activate your spirit to draw from Him. To draw the Lord out. To draw the Lord forth. The Lord wants you to do that. Draw the water. You say, oh, I'm not hitting water yet. Okay, keep priming that pump. Keep digging that well. I tell you,
keep lowering the bucket. Draw the water. It's there. Go ahead and draw it. Go deeper and draw it. Exercise your spirit a little bit more. Pray a little bit stronger. Stay a little longer and draw that water out. I tell you, this is the experience. A lot of times when I'm with the Lord, the first moments are kind of dry. But don't stop. Never stop because you feel dry. Keep at it. Keep at it. That's not because you are sinful or something wrong. That's how it begins. I learned this. You stop and you miss it. Just stay there and draw. Just remain there. I tell you, sometimes 15 minutes later, sometimes 10 minutes later, sometimes even half an hour later, the water begins to bubble up. Next, wait. This means to wait on Jehovah. There are too many verses I won't get to in Psalms. I will wait on you, wait on you, wait on Him. To wait on the Lord means you just stop yourself. You terminate yourself. You're wholly waiting on Him for His speaking, for His infusing, for His doing in you something. Now, later on, there's some other words about our prayer, our speaking to the Lord. Right now, this part is mainly allowing Him to do as much and as freely as He wants to do in you. That is to dispense Himself into you. So, you just wait on Him. A lot of times, even I have to deny my burden, deny my desires, my intentions. And just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He is going to speak now. He is coming to you now. He is about to give you a word of instruction now. Wait on Him. Wait on Him. Then the next word is linger. Next to the last word, linger. Lord, I would linger here, still seeking after You. A lot of times, after we have some experience of the Lord, we just want to, I'm done, goodbye. Blessed are those who hang around for the afterglow. Blessed are those who linger and still would not leave. Abraham lingered, and the Lord opened his heart to him. Linger, brothers and sisters. That means what? Delay. Remain. Lastly, recall. Recall means remember. You say, what is this? I tell you, as you are with the Lord, as you're with the Lord, there's all kinds of recalling, all kinds of remembering of what the Lord has done, what the Lord has spoken. A lot of things are brought to mind when you're with the Lord in this kind of a way. You recall His doings. You recall His grace with you. You recall His abundant mercy upon you. You recall so much as you are enjoying the Lord. Well, I think, brothers and sisters, that is good enough. And this is 9 o'clock. Okay, I will just stop here. I hope now you would all, excuse me, say something in the way of some sharing. I think it is good. I know it's 9 o'clock and all of this, but let's linger. What's the hurry? You have some email you need to send, or some text message, or some friends on Facebook waiting for you. Brothers and sisters, we are with the living God. Amen. Couldn't we spend a few more minutes with Him together and digest Him?
All right. How about you just share something? Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. Would you like to have a minute of prayer first to stir up our spirit with your neighbor, okay?
What a shame it would be to live this Christian life and just have a blade of grass of growth. And I was thinking, what is this like humanly? And it would kind of be like marrying someone and telling that person, I only want to have lunch with you once a month. Or your boss wanting to give you a raise, maybe $100,000, and you say, well, I only want $2,000. But I want to be in this Christian life and really gain Christ and gain as much as I can because he's just there for us to gain. God just gave him to us. And so I wanted to read this this footnote from Philippians 3:12 that says, at his conversion, Paul was grasped, taken possession of by Christ in order that he might grasp, take possession of Christ. Christ gained him that he might gain Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's gain Christ.
In our times with the Lord, I was just really kind of exposed in my times with the Lord. There hasn't really been that much time just spending time to appreciate who He is. And I realized this is really something that we need to learn, right? Because the Lord is such a wonderful person. He's done so many wonderful things. But we just need to be those learning to appreciate our wonderful Lord.
Whenever we spend time with the Lord, our goal should be just to touch the Lord. The woman, she was so desperate. She said, if only I can touch the fringe of his garments, We may come to the Lord with a lot of things to ask for, but all we need to do is touch the Lord. When we touch the Lord, all His virtues will flow to us.
Relationship that we need to have with the Lord, it has to be fresh. Like, you see couples and they get married, and after a couple months, you wake up, you roll over, you see that face, it's not fresh anymore. You see that person for almost every single day, and you might get tired of it, but with the Lord, every day, it's just a renewed relationship. It's just fresh, and every day, and it's just so enjoyable like that.
Have a routine kind of time with the Lord. I felt like this fellowship tonight is like coaching. I feel like we've been given some good coaching. And, you know, we need this. We need this kind of practical, experiential, descriptive kind of help. I think all of us should have such a longing within to know the Lord in such a sweet, deep, and fresh way.
Just like to echo Brother Tom, it seems like we're being coached and brought, we're having the way shown to us. But there was a word there where in order to really experience this, there is a requirement of a price. And the currency of this price is in minutes. It's in hours, even. And anyways, may we be those who would be willing to pay that kind of price. Amen. That we can have the height, depth, breadth, length experience of Christ.
Amen. Amen. I really appreciate the matter of walking. You know, when the brother was talking about we only give like a portion. You know, we only give two blades of grass. We have to walk all those dimensions, the depth, the broadness, all of that, to really get to know the Lord. So that when we could talk to someone, we could speak to them, like we could stretch it out. We could be able to express our like everything. We could be able to give them the whole kitchen, not just a snack, you know? It's just like, I really appreciate that. The matter of walking and what it brings, you know, is what results we get from walking in all those dimensions, not just one, all of them, all four of them, all three of them. Just walking in those dimensions, getting to know the Lord, getting to enjoy Him, appreciate Him, love Him, all of that, so that when the time comes where we could, someone tells us like what the Lord is, or we could say by experience, right? We could say by experience what the Lord is, not just by knowledge, by experience. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, just like the brother said, I just really appreciate the matter of walking and the dimensions. I hope to increase my dimension in my life so that I not only want more of Christ and also have the capacity to contain, to getting Christ, to taking Christ as our life supply.
I never considered this word cling before, but you consider Jacob was 84 years old when he wrestled with the Lord. You know, so many years he's had so many dealings and so much, you know, so much exchanges with the Lord, and yet it wasn't until he wrestled with the Lord that he received the blessing. And it wasn't until after he wrestled all night with the Lord that he received the blessing. So it takes time. We need to spend time with the Lord. And the blessing for him was the breaking of his natural life, because without that, he wouldn't have a more solid touch with the Lord. So I would just appreciate it. We need to spend time with the Lord.
I mean, I feel like this kind of fellowship it adjusts your expectation. You know, a lot of times we're disappointed in things because our expectations aren't proper, right? A lot of times in marriage, people get disappointed because they have certain kinds of expectations. And then, and life doesn't give you sometimes what you expect, and this kind of fellowship really adjusts our expectations for our relationship with the Lord. You know, a lot of times I know myself, we have ideas about what the Christian life is about, and really we find our days are filled with things that really aren't that exciting, and so it's good to realize that we need to spend those days absorbing God, right? The days we wake up that it seems like we're dry, it's not because there's a particular sinful problem maybe, right? It may just be that we need to learn how to persevere. We need to learn how to linger in the Lord's presence. And we need to learn how to draw out that water and not allow ourselves to be satisfied by something else. Right, a lot of times it's easy to begin seeking the Lord, but then somehow if we don't find the water after a short time, it seems like we're easily, well, I guess I'll just try tomorrow. So I feel like I want to spend time in these words. Every one of these words will constrain us to persevere until we can find refuge in His presence.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so enjoyed these 2 days' messages. And it is so rich. The Lord wants us to become more like His beloved Son. Even He was sovereign the whole world. The purpose is want to transform us. And this is the Lord's breath. You can think more, okay? Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm so glad for these meetings. Recently, I've felt before the Lord, Lord, I have so little desire for You. I only come to You when I need You. I'm just dutiful and religious. But I feel like these meetings have shown me that actually, I'm very hungry. I'm hungry for the Lord, but what I often end up eating is the things that are so in front of us, that are so instant, like what Brother Manure was sharing. All the things are so instant, and I grew up in the microwave generation, the now generation. We have to have everything now. But what I realized from these meetings is that, yes, the Lord is present and available now, but if we want Him to have a way in us and do what He needs to do and desires to do in us, we have to give Him time. We have to give Him time. And actually, we have nothing to give the Lord. The Lord doesn't need anything of ours necessarily, doesn't need, but He needs our time. So all of these words, bathe, gaze, draw, wait, open, linger, require time. You can't linger in the Lord's presence in 15 minutes. I think sometimes in the morning, I give the Lord about 20 minutes every morning. Because I'm a mom and I'm busy and I just schedule them in, you know. And I had some time with the Lord this morning, a whole hour, and I found myself kind of floundering. What do I do? You know, my 20 minutes, I still have 40 more minutes. And I realized that I don't know how to give the Lord my time, a solid block of time. So I'm so thankful for these messages, for these words, for this coaching. And I just pray that the Lord would have mercy on me, that I would practice these things and enter into these things specifically and practically by giving Him my time.
I just enjoyed that our God is 4D. We need to enjoy Him as the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And I was just really touched that we don't want to be happy with our shallow experience of Christ. We want to go deeper. We want to go higher. it just reminded me of, I don't remember if it was the Memorial Day conference or Thanksgiving conference, but I remember the brother said, we need to always be coming to the Lord to be satisfied, but we also want to be increasingly hungry for Him. So we're satisfied with Him, but we're just hungry for Him. And we just want more and more of Him.
I enjoy the fellowship. There's two aspects in our relationship with the Lord, passive and active. Passively, Christ is given to us as a good land and as an all-inclusive Christ with all riches of milk and honey and pomegranate, grape, copper, iron, water, fountain, and everything. But on our side, we have to take an action and take a walk and take this land in our experience. Without exercising our spirit or our taking this land, that is nothing, you know, related to us. Our Christ is a cubic Christ. It starts with small Holy of Holies, but later on, it will be extended as a new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is a cubic Jerusalem.
Amen.
So our experience should be expanded and broadened like New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Amen. I, too, appreciated the word cling. Like the brother shared, we need to be spiritually clingy. Not only just touch Him, we do need to touch Him, but, you know, it's more of a temporary state. So in Song of Psalms, it says, you know, scarcely had I passed them when I found Him whom my soul loves. I held Him and I would not let go. So we just need to be those that don't let go.
I appreciated the matter of walking and also that Christ is three-dimensional. I appreciated mainly the fact that we have to walk in Christ. We have to walk throughout the land, right, which typifies Christ. And this is to expand our experience of Christ, right? Christ has been given to us, and Christ is ready and available to us. But in our experience, how big is our Christ, right? So I want my Christ to be the full experience of Christ as possible, right? I want to continue to experience Him more and more in richer and fuller ways in all of His dimensions. So in order to do this, we need to go and walk. We need to go and spend time with Him. Take time to behold Him. Just linger in His presence. So, Lord, I just give myself to spend time with You, to experience You in new and rich ways.
We have the all-inclusive Christ as our inheritance, as our good land. And that's a spiritual fact. But that is like having the title deed to the good land, a title deed to Christ. We have this piece of paper in our hand that says we have all of Christ. But it's hard, very hard to appreciate a title deed. We really need to go out into this land, go out and explore this Christ, walk every nook and cranny, walk through all the mountains and the valleys, and enjoy the pomegranates and the grapes and the streams. I like hiking. I like to explore. So I can appreciate this picture of Christ as our good land that we just need to explore. And that takes time. And not only time, but also we need to, you know, not just rush through this land, but also just, you know, take time to smell the roses, take time to enjoy the pomegranates, to enjoy the riches of the good land as we explore Christ in our daily experience. Explore Christ when we spend time with Him.
I appreciated the matter of loving Him. We may spend time with the Lord, but yet not touch Him adequately, because I realize my heart has been divided or loving other things, but yet the Lord wants to draw us to love Him first.
Amen.
And not just the time, but to exercise our heart to love Him and our spirit to touch
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
I really enjoyed the title of this conference is 72 Precious Words.
Yeah.
And it's precious because it describes our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
We can be one with God.
Yeah.
this is really the most precious thing in the universe. And when something is precious, we give our whole being to it. And I just was touched, as our brother is speaking, there is really a call. And the call is just to consecrate our time to the Lord. Amen. One of the verses, you know, that's been really reverberating in my being is in Haggai, where it says to consider your ways. And in that portion in Haggai, it speaks about time. And the people saying that their response was, the time, this is not the time to build the house of Jehovah. And then the Lord, what? He rebuked the people saying, you have time to dwell in your paneled houses. And so in my being, you know, there's just a conflict. And the Lord speaking that I should consider my way. Amen. And the way to consider your way is to consider your time. Amen. And so my prayer is, Lord, Amen. In these days, may you gain my time. Amen. May I fight for the minutes Amen. To spend time with you, Amen. To be in your precious presence.
Amen.
Stretch.
Amen.
And I really appreciate these 72 words because it's by these 72 words over 72 weeks we'll be able to stretch.
Amen.
Right? By taking the time to get into each one of these words. This will be the practical way for our feet to start trotting, right?
Amen.
Start walking through this spacious land.
Amen.
This Christ. I was touched this footnote. This brother being from Philippians. I stretch forward, Paul said. Christ is unsearchably rich. There is a vast territory of his riches to be possessed. Vast territory. Paul was stretching out to reach the farthest extent of this territory. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So may we all be stretching these days.
Amen.
And how are we going to stretch? By spending the time.
Amen.
Right? In all these 72 words. So week by week.
Amen.
Right? This will be the way for us to practically stretch
Amen.
For our feet to trod through this land
Amen.
To gain more of this Christ.
Amen.
Right? That our experience of Him would be expanded.
Amen.
Anyway, Amen. Praise the Lord for this word.
Amen.
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 Okay, so tomorrow we will come back for the Lord's table at 9:30.
Amen.
Now, a couple things. I heard there is some kind of marathon going on in Irvine tomorrow morning. So that means probably there will be a number of streets closed.